Let's sit down with Matt Stringer, the Chief Executive of RNIB. It's our regular catch-up, looking at some of the big stories coming from the UK Sight Loss Charity. Matt, thank you for joining us.
Hello, Alan. As ever, my pleasure. So good to speak to you.
Now, we've been talking on the run-up to and sort of during the party political conferences at the moment. RNIB are there. You've been doing the rounds. We've had some of the big conferences as well. Liberal Democrats, with Labour and the Conservatives too.
Yeah, we're at the Tories. Talked last week about the Labour Party conference. I think Labour Party conference, clearly party of government, you know, a lot of focus on fixing problems they'd inherited. They've been very public about economic black holes and broken health services and all the things they've talked to. So, you know, clearly they're looking for answers and looking for solutions. And we were very involved in those that have had good contact and run into the conference sort of through the general election post. And I think increasingly showing the power of collaboration actually in bringing forward sort of answers for the Labour Party. You know, we've been working with 23 partners on the pathway, the ICARE Support Pathway, which we had the launch event 2 weeks ago in Birmingham, Aston University. We were very involved around the Labour Party conference with people like the Association of Optometrists, Guide Dogs, Specsavers, being in the same meetings as health ministers and really sort of looking joined up, which was good. Clearly, that's the party of government with the accountability now to fix things and make things better. We were at the Tory Party conference, clearly now the party of opposition, slightly different vibe, but a lot of focus on the election of their leader. I think what the team have been feeding back from the Tories was quite interesting is that you've got suddenly MPs who are now in opposition looking for causes and opportunities to hold the government to account. And clearly health is one of those. And so very engaged with us on iHealth actually as being something which I think is very intelligible and which they can see an opportunity to be able to support and try and drive solutions for the nation, but also become more informed to sort of hold the government to account. So we had a lot of I know there aren't that many Tory MPs now, about 120, but we had a lot of senior MPs, Ian Duncan-Smith, James Cleverly, Victoria Atkins, Alicia Kearns, I mean, Victoria Atkins, ex-health secretary, clearly, Nigel Huddlestone, Andrew Griffith. So we had a pretty good crop. So I think we did a good job. And I think, you know, again, the quality of the stand, you know, having an interactive Cane Street to walk down, gave people something to engage with, gets the conversation going. So I think the team done a good job. And I think just talking this morning to Anna, our chair, she went, and again, as ever, benefit of conferences, you just meet all sorts of people you didn't plan to meet. So different lobbying groups, different areas. There were some good conversations with people at the cycling group. We've been talking to Keep Britain Tidy group, talking to various people in different sectors. So as much as getting MPs on side and talking to government or shadow ministers, conferences are really a rich, fertile ground for meeting others. And I think this conference season actually builds on what was a good conference season last year. And actually, I think has cemented our position on the radar of the political parties and you know, with other people, continues to make us look like a very credible partner.
And who knows, some of those people you guys were chatting with at the Tory Party conference, one of them maybe the next new leader, you never know there. And rehabilitation was obviously quite a big thing as well. That's the point of Cane Street, to get vision rehabilitation on the map and kind of up the agenda as well, so people get that support at the time when they most need it as well.
No, that's vital. I mean, that's a real message. And we've talked about many times this year, you know, from the Freedom Information work we did earlier in the year that highlighted, you know, 24% of councils had people waiting a year. And 14% of councils had no one employed in the rehab role. You know, so we know it's very patchy, not frankly, not good enough. It really diminishes people's life chances. We've been pushing NICE for it to be regulated. We got some ministerial agreement or support for that, you know, with the Tories back in about May. That's been dialed back, disappointingly, after the election. I think NICE think they need to do some more work to really understand the landscape before they make a decision. So I think the argument's not lost. I think it's deferred, but we need to help bring forward that analysis. And I think, you know, one of the things I just mentioned, the power of partnerships. We've been working with people like the Association of Optometrists, the Eyes Habit Group, which includes people like Fight for Sight and some of the pharma companies. So we have good relations, which has all helped on things like the pathway. But we've all been commissioning some health economics data, precisely the sort of evidence that NICE need to know that it's something which should be pushed and then regulated, and also critical data to use politically to make the case that this is an area worthy of NHS or social care investment. And I think the good news, you know, is we were both independently setting off to commission some health economic data and we realised the other group was doing it, and we've made sure that we've done it in a sort of complementary way, so we're not overlapping and wasting money and duplicating. We're actually doing it in a way that it all fits alongside each other and share the data, so we've got the best chance as a sector to use that data to engage. So, that will help the rehab cause, to your point, Alan, but it's just, again, a good sign of people working together, and the conference season has just been, the latest evidence of that.
Okay, we'll leave politics, but we'll stick with partnerships as well. We've talked a lot about the partnerships that RNIB builds, also in the commercial sector too. Food companies, whether it's looking at Navilens, companies like Lego and so on, equally important to build these contacts and get across that accessibility agenda to them as well.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, and this is something we've always had a good track record actually of corporate partnerships. It can have been a bit piecemeal, a bit sort of individual things, as opposed to looking a bit more holistically. We've needed to be better at sort of account management, where we understand how we're engaging with a particular partner, maybe on numerous fronts, and not have lots of point contacts with that partner where we're not optimizing the whole relationship. I still think we can drive that harder because I think, A, we've got a very strong story to tell, whether it's around social care, whether it's around employment, whether it's around accessibility. And I think companies increasingly, obviously have a CSR, ESG agenda, but also I think they absolutely get there's an obligation to provide accessible services and communications and goods. There's an obligation to play their part in society. We're going to come and talk about the National COVID Inquiry in a minute. And I think for everybody was a bit of a wake-up call about how we need to pull together. So I think it's only accelerated companies' awareness of the need to partner. And we just take some of the contacts I've been involved with in the last few weeks, it just makes the point about this being really important for us. On Monday we had Lego in, and we talked many times about their Braille bricks, and I had to play with some of it on Monday with the Lego team. So that's a really interesting relationship. It's very pertinent now as we're looking at the 200th anniversary of Braille. We had a call with Currys, the high street electricals retailer, because we want to work with them around providing tech support and insight for blind and partially sighted people. They've got hundreds of stores up and down the country and thousands of employees, and how do we work with them? They've got a desire to end digital poverty. They're working in Digital Poverty Alliance, so there's a big overlap in what we can bring and support them and what they can do for us. So that was a really good initial conversation with them last week. And then we've had a great relationship with Tesco's, which has endured for a long time on a number of fronts. We've particularly been pushing visibly better employer standards with them. They've been a very early supporter and exponent, and the great news is they're now up to having employed about 650 blind and partially sighted people, which was up from about 100 2 years ago. So they employ 300,000 people in the UK. So you could argue 650 is not a massive number, but to go from 100 to 650 shows effort and commitment. And it's a great example for us to go and use elsewhere to bang the drum about this sort of stuff. I think we talked about Navilens through some of the FMCG companies and food manufacturers, Nestlé. We've done it with Kellogg's, and again, it's all very well doing it with one. You need to do it across a number so that the whole shop or the whole aisle can then be used in a similar way or have the same capability. So it's great to be able to extend it there. So I think all these signs are really strong. I think we're pushing an open door. We've got something to say, something to sell. They're looking for help to improve their accessibility and their engagement with the customers. And I think it's one of those areas as we move forward as the RNIB where there's real opportunity to drive this incredibly hard, actually, for everyone's benefit. So good progress so far, but still some way to go.
You mentioned the COVID inquiry, Matt. It's on the news a lot at the moment. People will be very familiar with this, but you're going to be giving evidence or at least interviewed for this as well.
Yeah, I'm there representing a disability charity consortium. It was an appalling time for the nation, and it made people sit up and take stock of their contribution to society. I think for people of disability, and I'm now representing a disability charity consortium, not just the RNIB, you really get a harrowing sense, which we knew at the time, of how badly served people of disability were by the national response. And you could argue there's lots of things that had to happen quickly and in real time, and people making very instant decisions, all of which you can understand. However, there is an undercurrent of the nation not having prepared and not having discharged what it should have done already in terms of the application of policy and standards that would have given us a much stronger bedrock for being able to support blind and partially sighted people. So one example would be accessible information standards in the health service. There is legislation back to 2016 that people should be able to see their comms in the format that they find accessible. And it's still not there now. And through COVID, when people weren't getting shielding letters, medical updates. They were engaging with the health service for maybe other medical conditions and needed to be communicated to in a really difficult environment with people wearing PPE and people not being allowed carers or family to visit. The whole thing fell down because there was no expectation that that communication would come in the right format. And when it's put under stress, it falls apart, and it is a stressful time. It's a good word to use. So I should be there making all these points to the COVID inquiry, which I think is really not only helpful but actually a really vital platform actually for us as a group of disability charities to get our point across. And I think it justifies, us taking that core participant status.
As you say, Matt, we will have a discussion about that after the inquiry or your attendance at the inquiry itself. Now, if anyone would like to find out more about the topics we've been discussing or more about RNIB's services, do have a look at the website. It's rnib.org.uk. The helpline is on 0303 123 9999, or using your Amazon Echo device, you can just ask Lady A to call RNIB's helpline. Matt, thank you once again for joining us. We'll catch up again next week here on RNIB Connect Radio.
No, Alan, thank you. A lot going on at the moment, but party conference season and COVID inquiry and other things happening in turn, it's busy time, but I think we're making progress and good to talk to you about it today. Look forward to speaking to you next week. Thank you.